Welcome to Conversations with Leaders, an AWS podcast focused on personal lessons of leadership, culture, and technology from business leaders across the globe. Enjoy today's conversation.
Hi, this is Phil LeBrun, a director of enterprise strategy at Amazon Web Services. I've been talking with software company executives from across Europe about the cultural change needed to transform businesses, how new technologies like generative AI are changing the innovation landscape, and how we can leverage data and technology to accelerate growth and scale, as well as their insights on topics such as sustainability and addressing the digital skills gap. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Dana Onofreyese, VP of Engineering at Trustpilot. Dana joined Trustpilot 6 years ago after having previously held roles at Capgemini and IBX Business Network. Dana, welcome and thank you for making the time to talk to me today.
Thank you, Phil.
So we know that ever-changing customers are putting an emphasis on businesses that are adaptable and agile. We know that businesses must be able to deliver personalized experiences that can be quickly and easily scaled to keep ahead in a competitive market. I think your company is a great example of one that is continuously innovating to deliver the best experience to your customers. In this rapidly evolving landscape of technology, how do you see customer experience playing a pivotal role in shaping the success of your business today?
That's a great question. So looking through Trustpilot lenses, the trust model changed over the years in the sense that before the internet era, people were trusting their close community as friends, family, and neighbors. Then trust was expanded to institutions. And nowadays, with global economies, trust is put in people like me and you, basically strangers for them. So that's why online reviews are such a powerful tool for businesses to shape their success. Of course, in this world, there will always be a minority of bad actors that will try to persuade or manipulate people's opinions or choices. So fostering trust in this world is the key part of Trustpilot's mission. That's why detecting fake reviews and bad actors became part of that mission.
And that's a really hot topic, Dana, particularly in the world of machine learning and generative AI. We hear more and more about responsible use of data and machine learning. I believe you house about 190 million reviews, which is quite incredible. How do you go about nurturing that trust? And what role does customer feedback play in shaping your products and services?
So there are a few elements here. Trustpilot nurtures trust by promoting transparency. You'll notice on Trustpilot that both positive and negative reviews are allowed and then analyzed. There is this element of ensuring the authenticity of the reviews, detecting the fake reviews and taking action against the bad actors. Leveraging that customer feedback beyond the star rating. So Trustpilot provides to businesses actionable insights into the customer experience. And then we are providing a platform for business and consumer engagement where businesses can interact with their consumers. They can respond to reviews or address other concerns. Trustpilot provides deeper insights to the businesses beyond the star rating. With this tool of review insights, we use AI and machine learning to automatically sort the reviews by topic area and to identify how customers feel about the service they're receiving. The tool is delivering actionable insights from the emotional sentiment of both negative and positive reviews.
And you've been in the cloud as a company for many years, since 2011. Could you talk a little more about how you're using the cloud and in general technological advancements to really exceed customer expectations and stay ahead of what is a rapidly evolving customer experience landscape?
Well, I guess this could be an episode in itself, but I'll try to briefly touch on two areas here when talking about cloud technologies, scalability and innovation. For scalability, so besides being able to handle more load and more events, I'm also referring here about the ability to scale processes and workflows and operations in general as your business is growing. And let's talk for a few seconds about the less attractive part of AI. So with predictions or decisions made by generative AI or any type of AI, companies will have to integrate those decisions in their existing systems and product. And that could be challenging sometimes. So leveraging cloud capabilities for integrating those predictions and orchestrating chains of workflows, ensuring logging and reprocessing, that becomes as important as the capability to generate predictions. When it comes to innovation at Trustpilot, besides leveraging the latest technologies such as artificial intelligence or machine learning, there is a principle that played a key role for Trustpilot, and that's the adopting the evolving architecture principle. To give an example, our AI-driven algorithms for moderating content and identifying fraudulent content, this one does not only improve the integrity of the platform, but also elevates the user experience by providing trustworthy and relevant content. We started this journey with AWS with simple fraud detection engines and rules. And nowadays we have a portfolio of engines. Some of them were already decommissioned and reached their end of life as they were replaced with more powerful and accurate models. So in this innovation space, it's also important to let go and have the discipline to, you know, replace the old with the new.
One of the things I find fascinating about what you've done at Trustpilot is you've used machine learning, as you've described, but you've also combined it with those things that humans can uniquely do. So using machine learning, but also the human capability to make sure reviews are trustworthy. Could you give some advice to customers listening to this podcast about how you've gone about making sure there's that integration between people and technology?
So if I reflect on some of our cases when we, let's say, automated some of these processes with machine learning or without machine learning, the quality checks and testing and validation played a huge part of the success. So before we release such an automated system, there's a lot of investment, like people reviewing and validating those engines and those automation. So in the end, it's not only the users who trust those systems, but us, we have to trust those systems.
How are AI and machine learning technologies transforming customer experience? More directly, what are some of the key factors you've found have been essential to be able to drive the adoption of AI in those customer interactions?
So if we are referring to customer experience as a function, there are several ways in which AI and machine learning are transforming it. With predictive analytics and with customer service automation, support can now be provided 24/7 in real time and more personalized. So this means that companies can improve user satisfaction and avoid customer churn. If we look at the broader customer experience topic, this demand for personalization and in real time will be possible more and more by adopting AI and machine learning. And this applies not only to the online world, but also for the physical world. When we will go to the supermarket or the pharmacy, we will be able to have a personalized experience. Also, in the world that I'm describing, fraud detection, security, and safety can also be enhanced with AI and machine learning. Now, the key factors that are driving this increase of adopting AI in enhancing the customer interaction, well, the technology became quite accessible. So we all know there is a growing volume of data. We have this demand for personalization. And then we also have the evolving customer behavior. And customer behavior could even be understanding the user behavior based on demographics. Zendesk, for example, they published an article about the difference between millennials and Gen Z in customer service expectations, where Gen Z, for example, they prefer self-service options, and millennials, they prefer personalized service.
That's really interesting. I hadn't heard that before. In terms of the trust in these tools, when you talk about aspects like security and transparency, what advice would you give listeners in terms of thinking about those aspects that our customers expect us to be thinking about as we bring to life machine learning enabled tools?
I'm certain that AI and machine learning could help us even more in the space of security, safety, and privacy, both companies, but also consumers. I imagine a world where I can have an AI assistant to support me in the privacy aspect, to tell me how my data is used by, you know, all the services that I'm using. Nowadays, like, let's be honest, we don't read all those terms and conditions when we accept cookies.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Using machine learning itself to help make sure that machine learning is safe, secure, and trustworthy. There's so much change in this technology space at the moment. How do you keep up to date with new developments in technology that may be interesting to Trustpilot?
So on a personal level, I'm staying informed by fostering an internal tech community where continuous learning and exploration are encouraged. I am learning from the engineers and with the engineers. Obviously, the collaboration with our technology partners plays a key role here, and being early adopters of the new services that you or the other partners provide. And then, of course, there is the good old attending and speaking at conferences.
We hope you're enjoying this discussion. To engage with other business leaders on these topics, follow us on LinkedIn at AWS Executive Connection. Now back to our conversation.
Yeah, you mentioned in a LinkedIn post your encouragement of, I think you called it drastic, novel, open-minded ideas on topics like monitoring and security, for instance. I love that. How do you sort of help people with that mindset? Because it's so easy to get into that we've always done it this way mentality.
That's a very good question. Well, I think just looking at the data that you have and at the metrics that you have and treat, you know, these operational improvements around monitoring and alerting as, you know, a business or a product OKR, where if you do improvements and if you don't see a change in your metric, then it's probably not working.
I'm fascinated by things like organizational structure, people, and the such like. So I'd really appreciate your insight into a couple of things. The first is you have a solution that's built out of microservices to give you the sort of technical agility. How does your organizational structure and processes support that drive for speed and continual innovation?
So one principle to follow is follow the value streams. So define the value streams in your organization and organize teams to follow those value streams. That helps so much with gaining a deeper understanding of the customer profile, customer problems, and also helps with ownership. You know, the teams and the people working in that space will have a greater sense of ownership.
You've been a leader for a while in engineering. How do you align your team's technical expertise with the overall company strategy so you can foster innovation and collaboration and excellence? And particularly in an environment where we can never go fast enough, and there's always this fatigue around paying attention and going deep into particular products and problems and the potential for employee burnout. So you've got a really complex job. How do you even think about approaching that?
I do spend a lot of time understanding the strategy. And what I mean by that is not only, you know, reading a slide, but also engaging and pairing with other leaders in the business and hearing their interpretation of the strategy and how are they cascading the strategy to their team. It's also in the process of understanding the strategy, engaging with the teams directly to understand, you know, the gaps, what's the readiness of the company or your teams for that strategy. And then I do invest energy in communicating the strategy in a formal but also informal way. Clear communication is key, even when things are not clearly defined. I learned with my team that sharing half-baked information is better than sharing nothing. So it's really important to cascade and equip the engineering managers, staff engineers, senior engineers with such information, as, you know, they are observing the situation within their teams. They are making hiring decisions. They can report back on the gaps and so on. Then there is the continuous learning as another tool. And our new AWS accreditation program plays a key role in this. In 2023, the program had so much traction. And I'm sure it will be the same in this year. Also, I'm a huge fan of experimentation in any form of shape, as it is fostering learning and collaboration. On the other one, with operational excellence and sustainable product development, with support from our previous CTO, we implemented the framework for reviewing the operational excellence for each team. So on a monthly basis, the technology leadership group is reviewing and discussing with the engineering manager of each team. We track and review certain metrics, both operational metrics, but also employee engagement metrics. And these review sessions, they are an opportunity to get the pulse of the team directly from the team and their manager. And of course, informs me as a leader, where are the gaps and how can I further support?
I love that. I mean, what we often see in organizations is a strategy that's been developed, but no one's actually continuously communicated that to the people who are expected to bring it to life. So I love that. Just simple advice, but it's often ignored, that communicate. And that experimentation too is such a good opportunity to learn. It's not all about just sending people on formal training courses. I am curious, with your role in Trustpilot and with all of the hype and excitement around generative AI, how do you see machine learning, generative AI actually helping your engineers in doing their day-to-day job in the future?
I recently watched a keynote presentation by Benedict Evans, and he was reminding us that with most new disruptive technologies, at first we adopted to our current ways of working, and then it changes how we work. We will see the same in engineering and other areas, of course. So engineers will adopt AI more and more for coding, for generating tests, for monitoring and alerting. And then the engineering work as we know it today will change. So for sure, AI-driven analytics will enable the engineers to make more informed decisions, to optimize design and architectures and innovate faster. For example, if we look at the time spent today for analyzing the impact of an architectural change, that could take weeks. With AI-driven analytics, it will take hours.
I love the positivity you bring to this. This isn't about replacing things. It's about freeing up your engineers to do things which they're uniquely qualified to do and want to do. Thank you for that insight. One final question for you. What do you think will be the most significant technology advancements or trends over the next few years? And how do you see them impacting either Trustpilot or the engineering community?
There is a lot of hype at the moment. I want to challenge companies and people to say that they're using AI without saying that they're using AI. At the end of the day, the most important part is, how do we solve a problem? How do we provide a great customer experience? And not so much about, okay, we're using AI technology.
So you don't fall in love with the solution, as we often say, fall in love with that problem. You've been in the area of both user design, and you've done a brilliant job as a company keeping what is a complex process very simple, but also in the area of machine learning for a number of years. What advice would you give to organizations who are just starting on this journey or want to do something different and better?
It's a lot about utilizing the resources that you already have, right? Most companies have a lot of data, but it's not easily accessible or ready to be used. So that's one piece of advice. Trying to invest in your machine learning capabilities or MLOps capabilities. And the recommendation there is to actually start small. Start with just one simple objective, treat it as with a product mindset. And then the moment you ship something to production and you start to learn, yeah, you'll be able to formalize your strategy. So start small. That's the main advice.
Yeah, absolutely. The best way to learn is to do. So I 100% agree with you. Dana, thank you so much for your time. You work for a fascinating company. I really appreciate you taking the time to share some insights.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Leaders, brought to you by AWS Executive Insights. For more on these topics, visit aws.amazon.com/executive insights. While there, visit our Generative AI and ML page for more resources to help you unlock the value of Generative AI for your business.